From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move on into the spring with our seemingly winter weather here. Appreciate you all being with us. A number of great events coming up here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll tell you about a few of them as we go along. So much is happening. The Caller Cup is coming up. That's the match between the soccer match between the seminarians and the priests here in the Diocese of Sacramento. The basketball game, the Sacramento Classic, is also coming up, and a wonderful priest vocation dinner is coming up. So an awful lot of things happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento. And, of course, we have that exhortation that has been released from the Vatican, from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and we'll discuss that as we go along as well. A lot of parts to that as well. The Caller Cup will take place Saturday, June 23rd at Papa Murphy's Park, and you can now buy tickets. You go to callercup.com, and you can get your tickets. It's Saturday, June the 23rd at Papa Murphy's Park, 1600 Exposition Boulevard, right next to Cal Expo, just a little bit west of all the stuff at Cal Expo. Should be a wonderful, wonderful game. Holy Mass at 4 p.m. with Bishop Soto. Gates will open at 3:30. Keynote speaker will be Father Mike Ritter. And then the Caller Cup at 5:15, Vocations Fair at 6 o'clock, and a pro match with the Sacramento Republic FC beginning at 8 o'clock. Again, go to callercup.com to buy your tickets or call the Office of Priestly and Religious Vocations, 916-733-0258. Well, we go now to Presentation School, Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we are joined by Sister Maria. Sister, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Always good to hear your voice.
Always good to hear your voice too, Bob.
We'd like to see you in person, but I guess, you know, you have you have school on in the morning.
Yeah, I have to teach.
Doggone it, your priorities.
I know, right?
So, let's just start with the golf tournament.
Okay.
What's your handicap?
What's my handicap? See, I'm not telling because there's a little bit of a putting championship at noon.
Oh.
And you have to come and try to take me on.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm not letting out anything because you got to be in it to win it, Bob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want people to take advantage. I want anyone from the worst players to the best players to come out and try to take me on. You never know.
My handicap is that I can only hit the ball about 25 yards, and then it just stops.
Well, then that's okay, because if you're not a golfer, there's not a problem. You can come for dinner. Cocktails start at 5:30, dinner's at 6:30. You can make your reservation, Bob, and you can come just have dinner with us.
Just have dinner and not have to play golf, not be embarrassed. Everybody be talking about how they did, and I can say I didn't shoot a single bogey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I know some golfers, they hit it so far and so high that the birds are worried. With me, it's the worms in the ground that are worried.
And the snails.
And the snails, yeah.
It's going to be a great event, though. We're really looking forward to it. We do this every year. This year, we're going to be doing it on Thursday, May 3rd. It's at the Del Paso Country Club.
Oh, what a beautiful spot that is.
Beautiful private club. It's a championship golf course.
You know, they had
the Senior Open just a few years ago.
Yeah, they had the Senior Open there. And not that it needed any sprucing up, but they did some, you know, revisions of holes and stuff and made it into, USGA Championship course.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is,
beautiful course.
Setting there is just spectacular.
Yeah, so it's going to be beautiful. And we're pray for good weather.
Yes.
Not too hot and not raining either. We want it to be nice so that it's a comfortable day, you know, because a little overcast is great golf weather, but not raining.
Yes, that would be perfect.
It would be really perfect, actually. But
yeah, so the date?
So it's May 3rd, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who wants to come and play can register on our website, www.presentationparish.org. There's lunch and dinner for those that are playing the tournament. And like I said, if you don't want to come and play golf, you can just come for dinner. Cocktails at 5:30, dinners at 6:30. There's going to be a silent and live auction. And I'm going to be emceeing, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's worth the price of admission.
Well, we're looking to – well, actually, you know, it's great. It's a great cause that we're doing. We're trying to renovate the church and make it beautiful. And so the proceeds are going to go to try to help beautify Presentation Parish. So.
Oh, very good. Very good. Do you know which annual this is?
I don't know which annual it is. I've only been here in Sacramento 2 years. I was there last year. We did the putting championship then. We're doing it again this time around. And it's always been a great event. Not sure how many years we've been doing it. I know we've been doing it at least as many years as the sisters have been here. So you could, at least 7-8 years now we've been doing it.
Wow. So.
And you know what I love about this? This is hysterical. There's an award for the worst players.
Oh. Is there a special entry fee for that? Now you've piqued my interest here.
That's my favorite, is that like the ones that have the worst score actually get a prize.
Yeah, you know, I've played in some of these charity tournaments over the years, a true charity case. And, and you know, usually it's these foursomes, and they say, oh, everybody can play. We match it. We just, you know, I felt like that. What was that Janice Ian song, The Last Picked at Basketball? You know, I couldn't get anybody to pick me up. Gosh, Bob, I'm thinking of maybe we're not playing this year, you know, and then I find out later that they played.
No, but it's great because if you stink at golf, there might be an award just for you.
Wow. I've never understood that game. You know, I've always played games where that involved a ball that if you didn't hit it first, somebody else did, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
In golf, it just sits there.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Did you know that I found out recently what golf actually stands for?
No.
Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
That's the way it used to be.
Yeah. Seriously, that's what it was before. Honestly, before, that's what golf stands for. And I thought, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and many, many golf clubs were exclusively men.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
True. Not anymore, though.
Not anymore. Yeah. In fact, well, the Masters there at the Augusta National Club is going to hold the Women's Amateur Championships are going to be there next year, right before the Masters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, well, playing on the hallowed grounds.
Yeah, I know. So I hope that as many people that can come show up. I hope to see you there, and you can take the worst game award.
Yeah.
it's going to be a delightful event again.
Do you have like you know the hole in one? You know, you win a trip to Disneyland kind of stuff too.
What do we look like? We're made of money, Bob.
Come on,
we're just a poor struggling.
You know, you know
here.
How that works though. I've been, you know, they always have some fancy new car parked on and the first person to hit a hole in one, and they say no, you don't put up a car, you buy an insurance policy.
Yeah, I know, but that costs money too.
Well, it costs money too, but
yeah,
it doesn't use not though. and then the car dealer is really excited when somebody wins the car because everybody thinks he donated it.
Yeah, when I was in the car business, we actually did several hole in one tournaments, and there was once that a person actually won a Lincoln Town Car.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they took insurance out, of course, but it was great. It was great.
I think I won a Schwinn one time.
That's your claim to fame, is that you won a Schwinn.
Well, it had tires.
That's true. Well, again, it's at presentationparish.org. Come and see us for golf if you're a golfer. If not, come out for dinner at 5:30 cocktails, 6:30 dinner. Enjoy friendship, fellowship. And I hope to see you all there.
Tell us, sister, if you've got a minute, what sorts of projects will some of the proceeds go for?
So we're actually looking to replace the carpeting in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking to make the center aisle and the sanctuary out of stone.
Oh.
We're looking to replace the altar, the altar of repose and the altar of sacrifice with marble. We're also looking to... the credence table and ambo will also match the marble altar of repose and altar of sacrifice. So quite a bit of renovations. Not a tremendous amount of renovating, because we want to do this in baby steps. It's, I think our goal is $100,000. We're over the $50,000 mark, so we've only got about halfway more to go. But it looks like we're on our way.
Boy, that's great. That's great. And how many, is this the old shotgun start and all that?
It's the I'm.
They shoot the bad golfers first?
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't come.
Maybe I shouldn't. Is there somebody there to give me the last rites?
Father will be there.
Okay.
No worries.
I've always thought, you know, at some of these golf tournaments, you know, golfers are notorious for kicking their ball out of the rough, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That they should have confession immediately afterwards before they present the awards.
Keep them all honest.
Yeah.
But I've got to go. It's 9:15, and the kids are waiting for me. They're going to take a religion test, so you say a little prayer.
We will.
For the sixth graders. Because
should we pray for the kids or for you?
No, you should pray for the kids because my tests are hard.
Sister, it is always a joy to talk to you.
And you too, Bob. God bless you.
God bless you, too, and we'll see you at the golf tournament.
Okay, God bless.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks.
That's Sister Maria at Presentation Parish, and she is – they are so lucky to have her. And she before she became a nun, she was back in the New York City area where she grew up, and she was in the car business and quite successful at it, and said she just had a conversion and realized that wasn't what, nothing the matter with the car business, but just that she really had a calling to become a nun. And so good for her. And now she's been out here for a couple of years at Presentation School, and what a great job she's doing there as well. Now, the Holy Father has come out with an exhortation, which is, what do they call it? It's not one step down from an encyclical, but when they say that, they don't mean that it doesn't have as much meaning. Everything the Holy Father releases, he's got a reason, and it has its meaning. This is Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, who's the Archbishop of Galveston, Houston, but also the President of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, says he welcomes the release of Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, Gaudete et Exultate. Try that again. Gaudete et Exultate. Rejoice and be glad, which is subtitled On the Call to Holiness in the Contemporary World. In his statement, Cardinal DiNardo expressed his deep gratitude to the Holy Father for the exhortation and the call for each Christian to acknowledge and be open to what God wants them to be. We discussed this a little bit last week with Bishop Soto. The Pope emphasizes in his introduction that the goal of his exhortation is to repropose the call to holiness in a practical way for our time, for our own time, with all its risks, challenges, and opportunities. And, you know, boy, we are all called to that. And sometimes I think we forget that. We go to Mass on Sunday morning and try to be first out of the parking lot. And then, okay, what are we doing with the rest of Sunday? And then back to work on Monday. And the kids doing this. And just get into that, onto that treadmill, into the whirlwind, and don't realize every day, every moment of every day, we are called to holiness. And the Holy Father is reminding us of this in a very kind and very relevant and practical way. According to Cardinal DiNardo, an apostolic exhortation is considered the second highest form of papal teaching after an encyclical letter. Pope Francis has issued two other exhortations, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, which is in 2013, shortly after he became pope, and Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love, in 2016. Cardinal DiNardo's statement says, I want to personally express my deep gratitude to the Holy Father for his powerful, straightforward words in Gaudete et Exultate. In this exhortation, Pope Francis is very clear. He is doing his duty as the vicar of Christ by strongly urging each and every Christian to freely and without any qualifications acknowledge and be open to what God wants them to be. That is, quote, to be holy as he is holy. The mission entrusted each of us in the waters of baptism was simple. By God's grace and power, we are, these are powerful words, we are called to become saints. Everyone called to become saints. Do not be afraid of holiness. These words of the Holy Father jumped out at me. These are the words of Cardinal DiNardo when I first read them. In a way, each one of us has a fear of striving for holiness, a fear that we would be mocked, ignored, or even hated by others because we would stand out. Yeah. Oh, you boy, you're kind of a religious fanatic, aren't you? You're taking that religion too seriously. How many times have we heard that from people? Wow, so-and-so prays the rosary every day. Or, oh, my goodness, they go to Mass every day. Or they go twice on the weekend. They're taking this stuff pretty seriously. When they kind of want us to put it in a box, want us to be to compartmentalize it. And that religion's good on Sunday morning. Everybody needs a little music and some inspiration and some a good homily and listen to the words from the good book. All that, the gospel. It's good stuff, but keep it in its rightful place. Don't go crazy. Don't overemphasize it. Don't be a quote religious fanatic. I've heard that before. Not that I'm an example of being a religious fanatic. I should be, but we do hear that, and that's I don't know if fanatic's the right word, but we're called to be holy at all times, not just Sunday morning, not just when it feels good or makes us feel good. Do not be afraid of holiness. The fear, and he says again, the Cardinal DiNardo, the fear that we'd be mocked, ignored, or even hated by others because we would stand out. Yet that is what the Lord has called each and every person to. Pope Francis calls us out. A Christian cannot think of his or her mission on earth without seeing it as a path of holiness. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. The Holy Father describes how holiness comes through the daily struggles each of us face. In the ordinary course of each day, the Pope reminds us we need to recognize and combat our aggressive and selfish inclinations and not let them take root. Yet, he says, this battle is sweet, for it allows us to rejoice each time the Lord triumphs in our lives. Wonderful words. One paragraph in particular points out the continuing need we have for civility in all our interactions, especially in the media. Christians, too, the Holy Father writes, can be caught up in networks of verbal violence through the internet and the various forums of digital communication. This can be true even in Catholic media, even in our heated disagreements with one another. We always need to remember that it is God who judges, not man. That's from James 4:12. In the light of Easter joy, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, I encourage every Christian to rekindle their baptismal call to be holy by reading this wonderful exhortation. These are the words of Cardinal DiNardo, the president of the USCCB. I encourage every Christian to rekindle their baptismal call to be holy by reading this wonderful exhortation by Pope Francis, especially the beautiful section on the Beatitudes. Through an exploration of the Beatitudes and by offering examples of how we live, how to live out our call to holiness in everyday life, the Holy Father has given us a wonderful tool for renewing our love for God and for each other. Such a call to holiness in everyday life. The Holy Father has given us. I just love those words. USCCB has made the exhortation available for order online. You just go to usccb.org, and it starts with store.usccb.org, and then /rejoice and be glad with hyphens. The Vatican also has the exhortation online. So if you have any questions, you can call the USCCB. Call Judy Keene at 202-541-3200. That's 202-541-3200. There's some interesting points to this. The Holy Father writes, and we aren't going to read the whole thing, but he says, I want to insist primarily on the call to holiness that the Lord addresses to each of us, the call that he also addresses personally to you. You're here. we're here. Why are we here? God has a purpose for all of us. It may not seem so. We can get into our ordinary daily lives or our ordinary strivings, and they seem so mundane, if you will, sometimes, or seem overwhelming sometimes. And we're all here for a purpose, for a good purpose, for God's purpose. In this exhortation, Pope Francis discusses the mission of each Christian, which is to grow in holiness. Two false understandings of holiness still confound us to this day, Gnosticism and Pelagianism. The first can be described as knowing all the doctrines of the faith, but not the mystery. The second can be understood as living what looks like a holy life, but is lacking in humility, the knowledge that everything comes from God. And it's not of ourselves, it's from God. Yeah, even, you know, our faith even is a grace. It's a gift from God. These false ways are countered by a genuine understanding of holiness, which the Holy Father presents by a reading of the Beatitudes. These instruct us in how to be holy. Here, at the center of the exhortation, some of the Holy Father's strongest words are found. Holiness does not just involve prayer, but also by how much our life has been transformed and lived out in the light of mercy. This is a quote. Our Lord made it very clear that holiness cannot be understood or lived apart from these demands, for mercy is, quote, the beating heart of the gospel. That's a number 97 in chapter 3. Holy Father then offers five great expressions of love for God and neighbor that speak directly to our current times. These include illustrations of perseverance, patience, meekness, joy, a sense of humor, boldness and passion, community and family life, and constant prayer. That's in chapter 4. Chapter 5, Pope Francis describes how holiness comes out through the daily struggles each disciple of Christ faces. This spiritual combat is not only with worldly values and our own weaknesses, but is also with a very real enemy, the devil. To aid in that fight, the Holy Father concludes his exhortation by addressing discernment. Discernment is, quote, about recognizing how we can better accomplish the mission entrusted to us at our baptism. And that mission, of course, is to be holy. It's really, really powerful stuff. The call to holiness, of course, is inspired by the saints. It's why one of the reasons we study the saints, the lives of the saints, for inspiration, the great cloud of witnesses. But each person is called to holiness, each in their own way. That's from Lumen Gentium, the great cloud of witnesses from Hebrews. What we are called to imitate from the saints is not their specific actions, but their desire to being open to God, turning to Him in every situation, listening to God in prayer, discerning the signs He gives you, and to living out to the full the mission given to you, reflecting the life of Christ and His self-sacrificing love. Also, and a very important point, we are not saved alone. We are never completely ourselves unless we belong to a people. Do not be afraid of holiness. We are frequently tempted to think that holiness is only for those who can withdraw from ordinary affairs to spend much time in prayer. I'm guilty of that, and I know a lot of us are. Like, well, that's for these holy people. They can pray all day. That's all they have to do. I've got other things to do. I've got to work. Well, got to work in the vineyard, the Lord's vineyard. We are called to be holy by living our lives with love and bearing witness in everything we do, wherever we find ourselves. The constant noise of new gadgets, new pleasures, new experiences does get in the way of holiness. How can we fail to realize the need to stop this rat race and to recover the personal space needed to carry on a heartfelt dialogue with God? I think a lot of us have that fear, have that feeling. You know, it's like that sense that I'll start tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm gonna make some time for God, which is backward. We should make the time for the other stuff. We always have time for God. Two enemies to holiness, according to the Holy Father, are modern manifestations: the Gnosticism and the Pelagianism. And we talked about that. So, interesting stuff. Again, you can order it from the USCCB, and you can order it from the Vatican website as well. The chapter 5, some of the really strong parts there. The attitude of listening entails obedience to the gospel as the ultimate standard, but also to the magisterium that guards it. Discernment is about recognizing how we can better accomplish the mission entrusted to us at our baptism. That mission, again, is, of course, to be holy. And the gift of discernment is all the more necessary today, since contemporary life offers immense possibilities for action and distraction, and the world presents all of them as valid and good. So get a copy, read it, and we will be discussing this more in the future. But powerful things from the Holy Father. For example, in chapter 4, he says, today we see a sense of anxiety, sometimes violent, that distracts and debilitates, and the marketing of all kinds of inferior substitutes to genuine spirituality and holiness. Boy, how many times do we see that? Why don't you come to this lecture, this workshop, this thing? And I'm not talking about the things we promote here, but you'll see that. You'll see ads in newspapers. You'll see ads on TV. You'll see ads on street corners, lawn signs, about what the Pope would describe as inferior substitutes to genuine spirituality and holiness. Perseverance, patience, and meekness, a fidelity born of love, this can only come about through humility, without which there is no holiness. The Holy Father stresses that a lot. The joy in a sense of humor. The saints are joyful and full of good humor. The necessary result of the love of charity is joy, boldness, and passion. An impulse to evangelize and to leave a mark in this world. How often we are tempted to stay close to the shore, yet the Lord calls us to put out into the deep and let down our nets. Complacency is seductive. It tells us there is no point in trying to change things. Holiness in community. Growth in holiness is a journey in community, side by side with others. The common life, whether in the family, the parish, the religious community, or any other, is made up of small, everyday things. Let us not forget that Jesus asked his disciples to pay attention to to details. And holiness in constant prayer. Finally, though it may seem obvious, we should remember that holiness consists in a habitual openness to the transcendent, expressed in prayer and adoration. In the silence of prayer, we can discern, in the light of the Spirit, the paths of holiness to which the Lord is calling us. We will take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California in the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Appreciate that. Appreciate all you've done here in the Sacramento area. Sheriff McGinnis, of course, is now a talk show host on KFBK every day, and very, very popular show. Just a few dates to circle the date. Youth Ministry Training Series with Tricia Timbriel will be May 9th and 10th. Tricia will be giving two talks, Establishing Youth Ministry with Vision and How to Recruit, Train, and Retain Core Team Members. It will all take place at St. Basil the Parish in Vallejo, at the Newman Catholic Center in Chico, and Christ the King Retreat Center in Citrus Heights. Each workshop is only $10. For a detailed schedule and registration information, you can call Lindsay West. Lindsay is at 916-733-0151. Also, the confirmation conference has been scheduled. Just so you know, I know we're going to have a couple of kids in confirmation next year. And the 10th annual Fired Up Confirmation Conference, you might want to circle. It's going to be February 9 in Red Bluff, February 10 in Vallejo, or in Sacramento on February 23rd and 24th. So there's four different opportunities for the confirmation conference. Again, and it's just circle the date. I know you don't calendar things and you get lost. February 9 in Red Bluff, February 10 Vallejo. This is next 2019, believe it or not. And in Sacramento, February 23 and 24. But registration opens May the 1st, so just a couple of weeks away, 2 weeks and a day. Contact Lindsay West at 916-733-0151. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Richard Cervaney from up in Reading, Regional Coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you, brother?
Doing very, very well. How are things in the North State? You got everybody from Wairika to where?
So Wairika, actually Tule Lake.
Tule Lake, yeah. Alturas.
Yep, Alturas, all the way to Yuba City, yeah.
All the way to Yuba City.
30 parishes plus, another, 20 mission parishes within those, yeah. It's been good.
You talk about God's country. That is such beautiful territory and so diverse. You go from being the heavy ag in the valley all the way into the mountains and the foothills and Mount Shasta and Mount Lassen and all the beautiful mountains. Wow. And forest, et cetera. I'm jealous, man.
Yeah. It isn't something that I take lightly. I can look out my house, and I can see both peaks. I can see Shasta and Lassen.
Can you? Wow.
From my area. So it's beautiful. There are a lot of days where you just stop looking up, but, man, there's more days you look up and you're like, man, that is just so...
I remember the one day, I think it was the first time my wife and I had taken our kids past Mount Shasta, and in the weed Mount Shasta area, and I mean you can see that mountain for about 2 hours when you're driving.
Yep.
And
yeah.
I said to my kids, I said, if that were the only mountain in the world, yep, you'd have a billion people here.
Yeah.
Because it is
crazy.
Oh, it's so spectacular.
My favorite view of Mount Shasta is coming from the north. Because that face of the mountain, the way it swoops down at you.
Yeah.
Man, you get the full, like,
the full thing. Yeah. Yeah. Coming from the south, it plays a lot of peekaboo with you because there are a lot of, hills. We used to have a contest. A kid would get the first one who could see Mount Shasta would get a dollar.
Yeah.
And inevitably, they'd see clouds first and say, "That's Mount Shasta."
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you're coming down either from Wairika or from Medford or Klamath Falls on either of those roads, that view is really something. And even you get around on the other side by McLeod in that way, it's you see a different part of the mountain.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think God put that mountain there. I'm not sure, but I think He did.
Yeah, right.
you should hold a retreat there.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of stuff up in that area. I know a lot of young adults go up there to hike.
Yeah,
things like that. So, yeah, it's good.
And we now have that beautifully rebuilt church in Weed, Holy yeah. Family, after the terrible fire. And those, and you know, the thing I like about the faith up there is so many families have been there for generations.
Yeah.
You know, and the church has kind of been the center of their lives.
Yeah, in the center of a lot of those communities, too. You know, it's like they're, like, especially, you know, when I go visit the Ridge Deanery.
Uh-huh.
There's such a huge span between each one of those parishes, like Bertolo, Susanville, all the way up to Alturas. But each one of those parishes, I mean, these are amazing churches. They're just beautiful. You're like, how did this beautiful church get here? Like, this church should be somewhere in Sacramento.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
Here it is in the middle of nowhere for a lot of, you know, a lot of purposes. You know, it's like, just amazing, you know.
You know, I remember the first time I was in the church in Red Bluff, just right there on the main drag.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a mini cathedral. It had the steps going up, and I thought, wow, what a gift! What a gift to this town.
Yeah, that's my home parish, so I get that view every Sunday. So it's
very good.
And then we take the kids to morning mass a couple days a week. So it's good.
Yeah, well, you're a blessed man.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of stuff that we're doing in North State, which is good. So we're really blessed. I'm so excited to do to really shift gears. So last time I think we talked, I was still doing ministry in terms of evangelization and catechesis, working with the Arise program.
Right.
And we're still doing that. We've actually hired a second person, so I now have two people in my office, Hector Velasco and I. We work together on a lot of stuff as partners in this North State project.
Now, your office is in Redding, is that right?
It is in Redding. It's at the Bishop Quinn Campus Center in Palo Pedro. Beautiful campus, beautiful area. So I get all the views.
Is that where the old high school was?
It is. It is where the old high school is. We still have an administrative building here, so... it's amazing when I drive into work, especially right now. I watched over the course of like 6 days coming into work. I watched the oak trees go from no leaves.
Oh yeah.
To full leaved, and it was just every day you're like, man, I just watched those trees grow. You know, it's like amazing.
And that's the road to Mount Lassen, isn't it?
Actually, coming across Deschutes is how I get here. So. And then you can hit 40, take 40 up into the last one.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So tell us about Rooted.
Yeah, so we've got actually David Bisono is coming back out. He's done some of our youth when we go to On Fire. He's been a main speaker there before, and he's actually was a youth director back in New York and is now a director of evangelization and adult faith formation in the Baker Diocese up in Oregon. So really close to us. So he drives down. We're blessed to have him. That guy is an amazing man. He's really filled with the Spirit. So we've partnered up with him. He's actually coming down April 27th and April 28th to do basically a young adult seminar. So 18 to 35. Targeting that group for this talk. And we're going to be both interiors. We'll be in Chico for the first night on April 27th, and then we'll be in Yuba City on the 28th. The same talk, so we're trying to, you know, hit as many people as we can to do that. So he's talking about remain rooted, consecrated, obedient, and filled in the faith. So, you know, in this 21st century, how do you do that, right? How do you... You know, with college students and young adults, with the challenges that they face with, you know, social media, just workplace, finding meaning in the world, going to church, how many of our youth have stopped coming to church? How many of our young adults really have gone away from the church? And so he's looking at that and saying, hey, like, let's talk about that. So he's got a great perspective. And he's been doing work in that field for, like, over 20 years.
Wow.
I'm excited. Really excited to have him. He's also, on the 28th, he's going to be in Our Lady of Mercy in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
to do a similar talk for Hispanics in that deanery, so in the Shasta deanery. And that's going to be during the day. So that'll be from, it's a Saturday from 9 to 2, I think it is, 9 to 2:30. So an all-day thing with lunch. So that'll be reaching out to Hispanic community and to touch, just to connect with them. He's fully bilingual. He's actually, I think he's from I'm going to get this wrong, but he can yell at me later. I think it was the Dominican Republic, I think.
Okay.
But he'll yell at me later if I got that wrong. but he's really passionate. I brought him up maybe 3 months ago up to Tule Lake because it's really close. And he did a talk up there, a retreat up there for them. We had over 50 people in Tule Lake for that talk. It was good.
Boy, that's great. And you said the Diocese of Baker now?
Yeah, he's in the Diocese of Baker.
Which is the eastern half of Oregon.
Yeah, exactly.
Runs from California to Washington and touches all of Idaho.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And Nevada, I guess.
Yeah, and he loves it there. You know, he grew up in New York, you know, it's like, and he loves it out there. He's like, I bought a house off the grid. He's like, it's amazing. He's like, I go out to the house and I'm just like, it's just me and God, man.
All of Eastern Oregon is off the grid.
Yeah, right?
It is. I mean, people think of Oregon and they think of trees and, you know, lakes and all. You get into Eastern Oregon, man, and it's a high desert and there's a long ways between towns.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's the amazing thing I noticed in the Ridge Deanery. You know, from Portola, Susanville, all that part of that country is just high desert.
Yeah.
You just valleys of nothing but high mountains and cold, and it's amazing.
Yeah, you get on the eastern side of the mountains, and the storms can't make it out there.
Yeah.
It's what we used to call cowboy country, you know, a wide open range and a lot of little small towns, parts of what you're responsible for here in the north, the northeast, yeah. Especially part of the state. The Diocese of Baker is just, I think the biggest city is Bend, and probably Baker is the second biggest city, or maybe LeGrand. So they're pretty small towns.
I need to make a trip up there. I haven't really spent a whole lot of time further up. I've been into the lower parts of Oregon when I was a kid. My dad was a big fisherman, so we spent a lot of time on the Trinity River.
Sure.
Around that area. So a lot of good fishing there.
There's good fishing everywhere in the North State in Southern Oregon. Yeah, absolutely. So we should do a travel show, Richard.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, you know, get it on the road.
Yeah, it will include mass times in our travel show, but it will really be a travel show.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You can go anywhere in the country and find a place for mass.
You talk about fishing with your dad. My fondest memories of my dad, believe it or not, are pulling into, you know, a small town like in Eastern Oregon, like a Pendleton or a LeGrand or, you know, Burns, some of those little towns, or Idaho or Washington. And this is years ago, and he knew where Sunday morning mass was going to be. He knew where the church was. I mean, towns weren't too big. You couldn't drive around a little bit and find the church, but he always knew, and he always knew what time mass was. And he emphasized to us that this is the same mass we get at home in Davis. This is the same mass.
Yep.
And it was so profound. And I love doing that with my kids now.
Yeah,
you know, they know no matter where we are, they get excited about seeing a new church. And what's this church going to look like? And you know, what's it going to be? And where are we going to sit? And who's going to be the priest? And they're, you know, some of that stuff, not important. Other stuff isn't, but isn't it nice that they're excited to be going to mass?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of our favorite things. When wife and I, we plan a camping trip or somewhere, that's our first target. It's like, all right, where are we going?
Where are we going to go to mass? Yeah.
can we go to mass? Like, where's it? Let's go see this beautiful church, you know, just to visit it and see it, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. You know, it's rewarding work, you know, being up here. I've started meeting with new youth ministers up in this area, and now that I've really had a chance to start doing youth and young adult ministry up here, and it's amazing the hearts of ministers up here. You know, it's like a lot of them are volunteers. They volunteer their time. If they're paid, they're part-time ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started monthly trainings in each one of our deaneries just to connect with them and start really, you know, making a bigger plan to reach out. We're, in fact, in April 17th in Reading, we've got a young adult group there. They've had a young adult group there for a while, but it's sort of dwindled down, and they've got some new guys in there. So they're doing a theology on tap at Fratelli's Pizza Parlor on the 17th. And my good friend Edgar from the Newman Center in Chico is coming over. He's doing the talk.
Oh, very good.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that and more, though. So
Excellent.
Thanks for all the work you do, keeping God alive on the air.
So. Well, thanks, Richard. It's like you say, it's a labor of love, and I feel very, very blessed to have this opportunity.
Awesome.
Hey, thanks, Richard. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
All right, man. God bless.
Hey, God bless you too. That's Richard Cervini, who's the head of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the North State. His office is in Reading. The Altar Server Olympics are coming up right around the corner. They're going to take place on this Saturday, the 21st of April. If your parish has a team, altar servers from the Diocese of Sacramento are invited to compete for the St. John Birchman's Cup. He is the patron saint of altar servers. And the privilege of serving at Fired Up Confirmation Conference or Ministry Days. It's a day of fun and fellowship. You can dress casually and wear shoes that you can run in. And it emphasizes teamwork, commitment, determination, knowledge of the faith, and altar-serving skills. It's a lot of fun and really a spirited competition. 1 to 6 p.m. at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. Altar servers from the 4th to the 12th grade. So your parish can put together a team. For more information on this, contact Jennifer Campbell. Jennifer is at 530-389-2780. That's 530-389-2780. Or give her a call. Send her an email. J Campbell. That's CAMPBELL. J Campbell. At scd.org, one of those fun things here in the Diocese of Sacramento, but also testing their knowledge of the faith. It's a really, really fun day. Well, we go now to Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove, and we're joined by Betty May, who's putting together a great celebration. Betty, good morning.
Good morning.
Betty, the 25th anniversary already for Good Shepherd?
I know it seems hard to believe, you know, since we started 25 years ago in a trailer at one of the local elementary schools.
Uh-huh.
And now we have a beautiful home, you know, permanent home on Kilconnell.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
And you have an
event planned for this Saturday?
We have a series of events this year, and one of those is the... beautiful Jubilee Mass that mm-hmm. will be celebrated with Bishop Soto and some of our past clergy and local clergy, and followed by a gala dinner event, which is going to be spectacular. We have our resident executive chef, Mark Cassell, who's put together quite a menu. During the Mass celebration, we are going to actually install some bricks that are from the Holy Doors in Rome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. We've got it's such a gift.
Where are you going to put the bricks?
They're going to be installed. We were one of the mission churches that for the Jubilee year, a year of mercy,
right.
And we're going to be mounting those above the door that was our holy door that was sealed and then opened.
Oh, very good. Very good. And this will all take place this Saturday?
We have the Mass at 5 o'clock and the gala dinner at 6:30. We've got receptions following every Mass on April 22nd, which is the Sunday following. And we'll have receptions in the Father Philip Wells Hall. Everyone is welcome. We hope to have a large turnout from our friends and family of Good Shepherd. Lots of parishes have supported us in the past, and we hope that we have those folks as well. And then in June, we've got a great celebration for a fundraiser, and it's called Brews and Cues, and we're going to have barbecue and craft beer competition, live music and pie eating and games and all kinds of fun events.
What day is that?
That would be June 23rd from noon to 5.
Very good. And that's a Saturday?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Very good.
And it'll be country-style picnic kind of event, you know, fun for the whole family. And we've never done something like this, so this will be our groundbreaking for this type of event.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got June 30th, we have a deacon-elect, Ramel Desclinas, who's going to be celebrating his first Mass. We're going to also have our new stained glass dedication that day. So that's something we've been wanting to beautify our worship space, and this is going to be so spectacular. And we've got Patrick Madrid coming in late September.
Wow.
So we've got all kinds of things throughout this year that, you know, if people want to keep posted, they can go on line to our Good Shepherd website, or they can give our parish a call at area code 916-684-5722.
I always found the address. I remember I was attending an event there a couple of years ago. It was a vocations dinner, the priest vocations dinner, annual dinner. I think it was 2 years ago. It might have been three, and had my one of my daughters with me, and you know, she's going on Google Maps or something, and it was racket court. And I thought, I'm an old tennis player, and I thought, what a great location for a church on racket court. And by golly, there we got there, and there was the church, and there was the swimming racket club right there. And I thought, well, that's two of the loves of my life, tennis and the church.
Oh, it sounds perfect. It's
just
location.
Perfectly. And then
Kilconnell has something to do with churches. It's on the corner of Kilconnell and Racket Court.
Right.
And the name just happens to mean something in, I don't know if it's Gaelic or whatever, about Church Street or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How do you spell Kilconnell?
That's a good question.
I'll have to look that up.
I'm sorry.
No, I'll look it up. I'll look it up because I've studied Gaelic a little bit. I can't speak it, but I studied it a little bit. So I'll see if it's a Gaelic word. You know, when we had the vocations dinner, it was in the hall, and. So we went into the hall first, and they had the dinner and before I left, Father said, "You got to see the church," you know.
Aww.
And oh my, what a beautiful, beautiful church!
It is, and you know when we started out in the trailers, we moved into the school gymnasium.
Uh-huh.
Then we moved into a temporary worship space, which was the hall that you were in. The Father Philip Wells Hall.
Okay.
And then we finally were able to open up the church. You know, after fundraising, we're still trying to pay off that debt. So if anybody wants to make donations, give us a call.
Was Father Wells the first pastor there?
No, Father Bland was the first pastor.
Okay, yeah.
And then followed by Father Philip Wells. mm-hmm. and then followed by Father. Let's see, it was Philip Wills, and we had Father. And his name is escaping me, and I'm looking at his face right now. Brendan McKeefrey.
Uh-huh.
And then Father Tamayo. Mm-hmm. And now we have Father Leon. And I don't want to say his last name.
You don't want to butcher his last name, yes.
Yes, it's a long extended name, which I always get wrong.
Well, everybody calls him Father Leon anyway.
Father Leon. Yeah. And he has done a fabulous job reducing our debt, and just he is...
Just what a great man. He's just so full of faith and so easily spreads the faith.
He is a true man of faith.
Yes.
And he lives it, breathes it, talks it,
yep.
everything, and we're so blessed to have him.
And just a man of great kindness, too.
I
just have such great respect for him.
He wears his heart out on his
yep,
sleeve.
Yep, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, you're lucky to have him. So this Saturday, 5 p.m., the 25th anniversary Mass with Bishop Soto at Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Absolutely. Betty, we'll talk to you again in June and before Patrick Madrid comes, too. That would be great.
Wonderful. Thank you so
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Betty. God bless.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's Betty May, who's helping to coordinate all these great events at Good Shepherd Parish. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272 or drop on and visit them 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Of questions, can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain.
my race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question